It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
All right, this week on Living the Bream, we have somebody that you will be very familiar with. She has been seen all over the world from the podium of the White House as a former White House press secretary. She is now a co-worker, along with being a friend, co-host of Outnumbered, and the author of the brand new book, For Such a Time as This, My Faith Journey Through the White House and Beyond. Kaylee McEnany, welcome.
Hey, Shannon. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to join your podcast.
Okay. The first question that you always get when you have a new book out is, why did you write it? What's the motivation? What do you hope people will get from this?
Well, you know, for me, obviously, you know, any person going through the White House or a campaign or the political world, the media world, really in any job, not just the fields I've been in, there are challenges. And part of this was me wanting to document being a part of history. I mean, last year was such an aberrational year with the COVID-19 pandemic and some of the rioting that we saw and all of the major flashpoint news events. So, you know, I obviously wanted to document this portion of history and how I saw it through my eyes. But even more importantly than that was just how faith got me through, how, you know, the hardest times. One time before I took the podium, it was Christ that was my sustenance, my strength, the reason I had such serenity at the podium. And yes, of course, was partly human preparation and studying and putting a lot of work in. But more than that, relying on my Savior that got me through the really difficult days that any White House press secretary will have in an administration.
Mm-hmm. And for people who want some inside scoop, this book is full of super interesting nuggets about you, about the White House, about the president, about how everything works, the campaign trail, and a really behind the curtain look, which I think people always enjoy seeing. Whether they're a fan of you and your administration that you're a part of or not, I think they will learn new things and just really get some interesting inside scoop. And you do have such a focus in the book on your faith. And you make such a good point that we can all prepare and do what we can. But that only takes us so far. There has to be a point where there is some room for divine intervention and some help. And you talk about the very first time you took the podium as White House press secretary, how you ended up on your knees in the bathroom praying after hours and days of prep for this. Tell us what difference that you've alluded to this, that faith makes in your life.
Yeah, it was paramount. And that's a great example of how it played into my life. You know, I had done everything that, you know, I think I needed to do before I took to the podium. I spent years studying, you know, at Harvard, at Oxford, at Georgetown, and just really had a research-oriented background and was very meticulous and methodical in the way I approached the briefing. And I had certainly put all the work in I needed to do, but nevertheless, you know, I'm about to go to the podium the next day and I started to become fearful. You know, then that's when I relied on my faith. I tweeted out Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Words that the Vice President Mike Pence said back to me, and he motioned towards me with praying hands, said he had been praying for me before I took the podium. You know, I listened to Christian music on the way to work. The morning of my first briefing, I listened to a Joyce Meyer sermon about faith over fear. But even so, even though I did everything right, I was still very nervous. Got a lot of incoming text messages from former press secretaries, from Christians across the country, one of whom was Sarah Sanders. And she sent me a long list of advice. And her most salient piece of advice was, most importantly, pray. And she sent me a picture of her Jesus Calling devotional from exactly 2 years prior to my first briefing. And she said she always read her Jesus Calling before going to the podium. I continued that tradition. And my team also started a tradition of our own, and that was praying. But she said, don't worry, you know, pray. But nevertheless, I worried. I was actually in tears when I was supposed to be at the podium. And my assistant, Lindy, came in frantically. You got to stop crying. You have to go to the podium. So she put my parents on speakerphone and we prayed together. And I prayed in the private West Wing bathroom. And then I went to the podium and you would have never known I had been in my office crying, because the serenity that I found came from something so much bigger than me. And it was Christians across the country praying for me and for the administration. And when I say we could feel those prayers, we truly could feel those prayers each and every day.
And because you've been so upfront about your faith always and part of your journey and who you are, there have been plenty of critics, you know, as being part of the Trump administration, there was no shortage of that at any time for you. But one of the things, you know, I wonder how it impacts you is that people will say, okay, you're a person of faith. You talk about God and about Christ and about what it means in your life. But they will then point to the president and say, he was untruthful. There were constant fact checks that, you know, the Washington Post and all of these other fact or fiction people were constantly saying that he was lying and that you were part of that, that you were spreading misinformation and lying to the press and to others as well. So how do you square that with people say, you know, people who ask, you're a person obviously of deep faith, but the critics will say you were part of an administration that didn't always live up to that.
You know, I promised in my first briefing to always share the truth with the American people from the podium. And I did that each and every day. And as a press secretary, you know, your job is to go around and collect information and discern from sometimes varying accounts of what happened in a meeting that you weren't even in, what the truth of the matter is, what was sound enough, footnoted enough, sourced enough to say confidently. And I think I did a very good job of that with my team. No one's perfect, of course. You know, the president, I didn't agree with every single thing he ever tweeted. We have very different styles, you may say. But, you know, I didn't agree with everything he ever said or tweeted. But I can tell you he was a great man, an amazing boss, a leader who I look up to, who I think did so much good for this country. It was an honor to work for President Trump. I'm so proud of what the administration did. And certainly there will be critics. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a woman of great faith and character. I'm so proud of what I brought to the podium. And the rest is just noise. And, you know, when I see the attackers on Twitter, I try to keep in mind what Ravi Zacharias said. And behind every question, there's a questioner. Behind every critic, there's a person. And they bring to the table all their hurts and imperfections in life. And so I just look at the criticism as noise and can be very proud of, I think, what we did in the administration and certainly in the final year when I was there.
Yeah, I mean, we are all flawed and thankfully saved by grace. I need it every day. And I think it's good to remind us the people around us need it as well. And we have our own accountability before God. He knows our hearts and he knows our motives and everything else. And I'm just thankful for forgiveness. I need it every day and for grace and for mercy. Yeah. I know you come from that same place. Now, somebody else who's got a book out, I've got to ask you about Mark Meadows, White House Chief of Staff. It's made a lot of headlines lately. So I wanted to ask you and get your response. He says that the president tested positive for COVID shortly before his debates with now President Biden. There's been a lot of back and forth on that there was a subsequent negative test. There were questions about, you know, which test was legit. And obviously within days, he was very ill and being treated for COVID. What can you tell us about what you knew about that?
Well, I think that's a great example of what I was describing in theory playing out in practice. You know, I mentioned in theory, you know, as a press secretary, I'd call up Alex Azar and Brett Joua, and sometimes Dr. Fauci would be in my office and I'd hear differing accounts and have to decide, okay, what is the truth of this matter? And that's a great example. I think in Mark Meadows' book, he obviously says that the president tested positive earlier in late September, I believe is the date. President Trump says that never happened. So two different accounts. I can say with confidence what I know, which is I had no awareness of a positive test until October 1st. It was at night. I was at home with my daughter, my mom, my sister, and one of my colleagues, Chad Gilmartin, who's also a family member. And I got a call from the chief of staff's office on October 1st. The president was on air live on Hannity. And I got a call saying that the president had tested positive for COVID-19. Anyone in my family can attest to the fact that I was absolutely flabbergasted, scared. It was one of the scariest times in the White House to hear President Trump had tested positive. It came shortly after news broke that Hope Hicks had tested positive. And I was told he was getting a second confirmatory test. And in the meantime, I started crafting a tweet about the president's positive diagnosis should that second test come back positive. And indeed it did. And it was October 2nd in the early morning wee hours that he announced to the world he was positive for COVID-19. But prior to October 1st, no one had told me he had ever tested positive. So that was between Dr. Conley, the chief of staff's office, and President Trump. And, you know, who knows? There are two accounts now. And, you know, I maybe we'll find out more information.
We'll have more Live in the Bream in a moment.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
What was it like to be in the position that you held? Listen, it would be stressful any time in history, but to be there as a worldwide pandemic that we're still struggling with was unfolding. There was so much unknown. People were anxious. They were isolated. They were frightened. There was a lot of unrest over the George Floyd killing and many other things that upended our country in a lot of ways. The job you were doing is always going to be a tough one, but in the midst of that, what was the mood for you for the White House?
Yeah, it was a challenge every day. I mean, I took the job in the middle of a nationwide lockdown, and I took that task and this job with great responsibility on my shoulders, knowing, you know, I would be communicating with the American people during a global pandemic, and not knowing that beyond COVID-19, there was, of course, the murder of George Floyd on the horizon. No one knew that was coming, and the unrest thereafter. It was surreal. I tried from the podium as best I could to bring unity and healing. A great example of that was the night after St. John's Church burned. I was sitting in a hotel room. I wasn't able to go back to my apartment because there was some violent interactions outside my door. So I had to stay outside of the city. And I saw from Kevin Cork, I think it was a tweet I saw, that St. John's Church had been lit ablaze. And St. John's Church is Church of the Presidents across from the White House. I passed it every day on my way to work. You know, every president going back to James Madison has attended a service there. And to see this church burning, and then to go into the city and see ACAB spray painted on monuments, on the Veteran Affairs sign, all cops are, and I won't say the word, it was divisive. And, you know, I tried to use the podium the next day to help heal the country and heal the divisions. And I talked about the significance of St. John's Church and how St. John's Church kept its doors open during the March on Washington. They were told it was going to be a bloodbath, but the rector said, we will keep these doors open so all who want to can come worship here. And of course, that was the famous I Have a Dream speech from Dr. Martin Luther King, and a peaceful protest indeed. So the irony was not lost upon me that this church, who stood so boldly in healing the country, was then lit on fire. Another example was just at the podium. You know, it was very troubling to me that reporters never really asked about certain victims, like children who were dying of crime in the streets, like David Dorn, a police officer who died in the riots. So what I did and my team did is we put up an in memoriam graphic for George Floyd, because his life matters and he was murdered. And we also put up an in memoriam graphic for David Dorn, who was also murdered, whose life also mattered. So trying to bring attention to victims who are all too often overlooked in portions of the media was, I think, one of the biggest tasks I had, and something that I believe we succeeded at.
Listen, you're like me. I'm not a practicing lawyer anymore. We're doing very different things than most people who go to law school. And I think it's, you know, to read your story and to see all the twists and turns, I mean, you never could have imagined as a little girl in Plant City, Florida, probably that you would have ended up in the places that you did. And that kind of gets back to the theme of your book, For Such a Time as This. I mean, God crafts our paths and our plans. What would you say to young women out there who are, and young men too, who are kind of searching? They know that they have kind of a fire burning inside of them. They don't know where they're going to go. Sometimes doors slam in your face. But if you have faith, being able to trust God with Him mapping out every day.
Yes, exactly. And if you have the fire in your heart and the passion and the desire and the work ethic, it all comes together. And I think when I look back on my path in life, sometimes you mentioned those closed doors. There were closed doors. There were frustrating times. But each of those closed doors was pushing me down a different pathway that ultimately led me to a place I felt I was supposed to be, which was at the White House podium. And that's why this entire book, it's based off of Esther 4:14. And of course, that famous phrase at the end of that verse, for such a time as this. And, you know, I use this because Queen Esther was put in a certain time and a certain place in history for a purpose and a reason. And in the Bible, she saves the Jewish people because she stands up to the king. And when I made this the title of my book, I'm in no way saying that I've done anything quite as significant or consequential as Queen Esther. But what I am saying is, just as she was put in this place, so too was I. And every door that closed led to a different one opening that led me to a place that I certainly could not have foreseen more than a decade earlier, when I was watching Dana Perino give a press briefing as an intern in the Bush administration. administration. I never thought I would be there, you know, 10 years later, just beyond 10 years later. So, you know, I say all that to say, for such a time as this is a phrase not just meant for me. It's a phrase my dad said to me when I was nervous about taking the job. And it's also a phrase that a CNN commentator, Van Jones, who's not the same side of the political aisle as me, but he separately sent that same phrase to me. So I know I was meant to hear that verse, Esther 4:14, and I think it applies to all of us. So if you have that passion, that heart, just trust Christ. If a door is closing, there's a reason. Maybe it has something much bigger in mind.
Yeah. You and I were joking before we got started about the fact that I got fired from my first TV job. And that was crushing from a guy who told me that I would never make it. And there might've been a few tears over that, but as you talk about in your book, there were doors that were closed, as you just said. And, you can have faith, that God is, and thank goodness, someone much bigger than us is in charge of the whole thing, is directing and guiding our paths. I want to ask you too, because obviously you talk a lot in the book about the treatment of a Republican administration versus a Democratic administration. It feels like these days there are some people asking tough questions of the Biden administration. As inflation soars, as COVID's not under control, as the border's not under control, it seems like there are those in the mainstream media who are starting to push a little bit and ask questions about, as poll numbers get worse and worse for this administration, about just how the administration is making decisions, who's in charge, why certain things seem to be not improving, but devolving. Of course, Afghanistan was incredibly heartbreaking, for Americans to watch as our young men and women lost their lives. And it seems like that was sort of a breaking point, that the honeymoon was fully over for this administration. Do you feel like this administration is getting some fair, tough questioning from the mainstream press?
I do think it's certainly gotten tougher, the line of questioning. It used to just be Peter Ducey who would ask a tough question, but now it's more than just Peter. It's other outlets as well. But what I would say is this. I think now they're starting to ask tough questions, which is good, but they're not disrespectful questions, which is also good. For instance, and there's no running with narratives that are just blatantly false. In the aftermath of the Trump administration, there's been a lot of narratives that I used to stand at the podium and say, this just simply isn't true. Lafayette Square, the story that the president instructed people to gas and pummel protesters so he could hold a Bible at a church. You know, we said day in, day out, that did not happen. That was not the reason that the park was cleared. And now an inspector general has confirmed everything that we were saying. Same thing about bounties on the heads of soldiers in Afghanistan. There was that report that Russia had bounties on the heads of U.S. soldiers, and President Trump did nothing about it. And now Biden's own intel community has essentially proven that story false. So my point in sharing those two accounts, and there are many others, is that the false narratives the press used to run with for Trump, they don't do that in the same way with President Biden. I think that's a good thing. I think the tough but respectful questioning is the way it should be. And I do think that we're getting a little more accountability, but not overboard in the way that was done with President Trump.
Yeah, there are many examples out there. And I think time is on the side of the truth as investigations continue. And we get a lot more information about things that were presented one way. And we actually see some of these mainstream media outlets admitting and offering corrections about things that they got wrong over the last administration. So as you said, we want the media to be fair and tough on any administration. So we'll continue to watch. Kayleigh McEnany, the book is For Such a Time as This, My Faith Journey Through the White House and Beyond, out December 7th. It is a fascinating read. It's entertaining. And you just get a better insight into Kayleigh's life, into the White House and the Trump administration, and really the thread of faith that runs through all of this. And it can be an encouragement, I think, at the end of the day, bottom line from this story. Kayleigh, thanks for making time for us. Great to have you on Living the Bream.
Thank you so much for having me, Shannon.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.